Beloved, we open our Bibles to Luke 24, and I'm going to read for you verses 13 to 35. We're going to look at the whole story of the walk to Emmaus, or at least the most direct part of the story. Kind of, it has a bit of a continuation, in a sense, through the end of the gospel, the end of that chapter, the end of the gospel. We're going to look at it, verses 13 to 35, but what I'm really honing in on this evening is verse 32. So I'll read that a second time after I read the whole section. We'll revisit some of the verses for a little bit of context, but verse 32 is really where we're focusing this evening. So hear now the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And we look at again at verse 32, the focus of our sermon this evening, in mind of the context. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I've been thinking about that verse from the first lecture by Dr. Ferguson that we've enjoyed from Westminster Seminary this spring, and he pointed out some of the other things we'll revisit tonight. And don't want to bring down, of course, but the result would be something we should expect, we should pray and hope for, is what happens, among other related verses, what happens in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? May the Lord bless this, the preaching and explanation of Jesus as he preaches through the earthen vessel of himself in this scripture regarding all the scriptures speaking of him. May we go away saying, did our hearts not burn within us? You know, there is a reason that some people call sports their religion. Have you ever seen that? It almost is religious in nature, the way it doesn't have to be, but it can be for some. You know, they eagerly anticipate the games, get up much earlier for it than I think most do for church. They prepare not to miss a minute, follow all the scores, and often following the scores of other games going on and how everyone will rank together. And they follow all the commentary and they care about all the context. They are exuberant with excitement. And how much more should we respond to Jesus and his preaching about himself in all the Bible in our worship? Like these men on the road to Emmaus. Our response to the risen Redeemer showing himself to us in all the scriptures should ignite our hearts with excited Christian discipleship, fellowship, and Christian worship. Honing in on their response this evening, I give that to you as the main idea of our verse. Our response to the risen Redeemer showing himself to us in all the scriptures should ignite our hearts with excited Christian discipleship, fellowship, and worship. The question is, how will you respond this evening? How will I respond this evening? And frankly, brethren, while it's a rhetorical question, I don't expect that you wouldn't respond that way. I love preaching to you. There is a heart for Jesus here. I enjoyed at All Saints RPCNA last week what I experienced just with their gratitude for serving the Lord's Supper last year, off the cuff, so to speak, with how things turned out while we were in town, and being able to preached in the last 2 weeks, I wasn't surprised. There's a heart that burns for Jesus there. There's an excitement about the ministry of the word. And yet I want to call on us to make sure that is the case and that the Lord would fan that flame for us. Beloved, may your hearts burn for Jesus, preaching himself within our Christian communion. That's the message for you this evening. May your hearts burn for Jesus, preaching himself within our Christian communion. First of all, attentively hear Jesus in all the scriptures. Attentively hear Jesus in all the scriptures. Now, I want you to think about Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 11. I'll just remind you, I'll summarize. The Bereans were more noble than others. They had Berean spirits, as we often pray for ourselves and others. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily to see if the things being preached were true. They had this hunger to know. There was a spirit, a mindset of this is probably all true. I just want to see it for myself. Oh boy, I got to see this. I want to study. And so they were daily searching the scriptures to confirm and grow in what they were being taught. There was an involved interest, a deliberate study, seeking to understand. There was an appetite. There was a hunger for Bible study. And that was coming from this desire of being in worship and hearing these things taught. In fact, Carl Truman points out, how would they mostly search the scriptures? It would have been mostly in worship, having the Bible explained. They wouldn't probably have had the same things we have to study at the moment. Even more so, why we should. So those walking to Emmaus, notice, as he talked with us, and it says, while he opened to us the scriptures, you could say while he revealed in the Greek to us the scriptures, that is, he explained them. He taught them about it and what it all meant and what it all meant about Jesus. They eagerly took in detailed teaching of the scriptures. They wanted it all. They wanted deep understanding, a depth of insight. Jesus is talking with them. He is opening up the scriptures to them about himself, as we know in the greater context, because that's what they're concerned about. He's teaching them. This isn't just a little bite-sized thing. This isn't just they want to know how it all fits together. They're eager to learn. They're attentively taking in this teaching from Jesus. And at this point, they don't even know it is Jesus. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, notice that relates to verse 25, where it says, you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. So there's this clear understanding from Jesus that all of the scriptures speak of him. He is the center. He's the focus. Everything is building and leading us to him. As Galatians says, the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But everything is to bring us to him. He is expounding on the scriptures. So think about that's how Moses is expounding the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy right now. And we should be eager to come back for more. We should be eager to keep knowing more and how the Lord would have us know and serve Jesus. Later, verses 44 to 48. And this is later after he's with the disciples now. They go from Emmaus, they tell the disciples, and then Jesus appears among them. And notice in verses 44 to 48. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So verse 27, he's teaching how the whole Bible is concerning him. Here, concerning him again, though he's speaking in the first person, concerning me. But it's all speaking of him. By the way, as being exclusive psalm singers, if you don't mind, I'll give us a shout out. People often, I've heard this many times, a criticism of singing the psalms, but I want to sing about Jesus. They're all about Jesus. Especially Psalm 110, Psalm 2, Psalm 110 we sang this evening. I mean, that's why the Psalms are quoted more than anything else in the New Testament to prove Jesus, because they were singing the Psalms in worship, and the Psalms are all about Jesus. You just have to know and see it there. And admittedly, sometimes we need a little help to see more that's there. The New Testament often brings light to these things, but they knew it, and we just need to have it explained and taught to us and be willing to learn and see Jesus in all the scriptures, including the Psalms. And then verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So, of course, we recognize no preacher is Jesus. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, has to open the eyes or the understanding of people to hear what's being explained. You can explain it, and some just aren't going to get it if it isn't for the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He had to do all this because this is what was preached of him. In the Gospels, he's regularly preparing them. This is what's going to happen. This is why he came. It's all been prophesied of him. And then 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are eyewitnesses of these things. But especially verses 44 and 45, he explains the scriptures to them, all of the Old Testament at this point, and how it's all about him. It's all pointing to him. The Messiah has come. The Savior has come. The only mediator between God and men has come. And he is resurrected. They tried to kill him. They killed him. It's only because they let him. He rose from the dead. That's part of this exciting story, right? He's risen from the dead. They were down and out over this. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And then he ascends at the end of this gospel up on high, and they're just rejoicing in all of it. But they listened attentively to it all. They were already prepped to do so, by the way. They were already prepped and primed to do so. That's how we need to be coming to church. Lord's days, Wednesday nights, other opportunities, men and women Bible studies. We need to be just like eager to come, and come eagerly. preparing ourselves, because they were already primed to listen to Jesus about Jesus before they even knew it was Jesus teaching them. Verses 14 and 15, they were primed for this. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What are you talking about? Right? It's kind of like, what's going on? What are you talking about? But they were talking. Obviously, they were talking and they were concerned. They were reasoning together, communing, fellowshipping together. They're disciples of Christ, and they're very concerned. What has happened to Christ? Where is he? And maybe a tinge of hope. Is it true? And they're reasoning. Well, but did the Bible say this? But what about this? I think the scripture might say this. You know, they're reasoning and thinking about it. They're already ready for him to tell them. They already want to know. They're concerned and eager to know. And that's how we need to be. Look at verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They knew he was a prophet. They saw his mighty works. They paid attention to it. They didn't dismiss it in unbelief like the Pharisees. They saw he was a prophet of God. In fact, the last prophet prophesied of by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18, which Stephen speaks about in his sermon before they kill him for it in Acts chapter 7. They're primed for him. They were already excited about him. Verses 22 to 23. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. This is what they're talking about, reasoning about. Is it true? I mean, I just got goosebumps. They probably are getting goosebumps. Like, is it true? Is he alive? Is he really risen? Did he really do this? Where is Jesus? They're already primed. And he steps into that. We want to pray that the Lord starts to do that more and more on us and in others. That Jesus would step into what he's already preparing them for, in a sense that they'd be ready to hear about Jesus. Beloved, you will want, if you're like those on the road to Emmaus, and by the way, isn't it neat that we get the name of one of them? I just want to point that out to you. We can read past those things quickly. We have a lot of personal names in the Bible, and we don't hear about the name of both of them, but we hear the name of one of them. Cleophas, I want to say, I'll find it better later. Cleopas, verse 18, Cleopas. But it's just, this is a real person, you know, this is a real thing. Jesus is a real raised person speaking to another person, wondering what had happened. And they want to understand. And when he starts to teach them about why they shouldn't be confused, but they should understand, because it's all through the whole Old Testament. This is exactly what was supposed to happen. Let me review and teach you. They were eager. And you, beloved, need to be eager for receiving careful exegesis and explanation of the scriptures in their context, typologically, redemptive history. You need to be interested in systematic theology and confessions and catechisms, because they help summarize scripture. And the summary of scripture is what? Yes, maybe I should say who? Jesus. And you want more of Jesus. And Jesus says to you, John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Doesn't that get you excited to just open your Bible and look for Jesus? Admittedly, some things are harder to recognize than others. That's why we ask our preachers to be trained and come and train us. And that's why we keep learning and studying together. And we should be excited and eager to have that, and disappointed if we don't get it. Beloved, as you would be those walking on the road to Emmaus, you will be thankful for churches and leaders who, like Paul, seek to give you the whole counsel of God, even if it takes 3 years. And you will care about what you learn, personally of the whole person of Christ. And so affectionately respond to Jesus with all that you are. Attentively hear Jesus in all the scriptures and affectionately respond to Jesus with all that you are deep within. You know, what's the point of a car having an ignition? To start the car. You know, I shared with you once, I rented a car and I had never experienced, I know some of you have cars like this, these newfangled doohickey thingies where there's no place to put a key. You just keep it in your pocket. What's that all about? You know, and I was there for maybe 5 minutes and I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I don't know how to start this thing. I had to go back and ask them. They had explained to me, oh, you just, you know, push the button heavy from the brake. But you need to know, because otherwise, if you don't know how to ignite the car, what happens? Nothing. What's the point? A spark. Things moving. I still turn mine. The point of an ignition is to start the car and have the engine humming and the wheels turning. Did not our heart burn within us? First, notice the mutual way they're talking about that. Our heart. Did you feel that? Did you see that? That was Jesus. He's alive. Whoa, didn't we feel it even before he revealed? You notice that first, that mutual, I know, you too, totally. Yes, you too, wow. Did you feel that? We burned. See the effect he had on us. That word for burn in the Greek just has the idea of starting of the burning. It means to kindle, to light on fire, to cause to burn, to set on fire, to ignite, to set ablaze. And that's what we want to pray that the Lord is doing in us as he shows himself to us in the scriptures, that we're prepared for it, we're excited, and we want more, and we are, wow, I didn't see that before, or wow, I forgot. That is wonderful to see again. Help us. May our hearts burn for him. This is indeed what the point of learning about Jesus everywhere in the Bible is. To be excited to know him better and better. To be introduced to him the first time. You know, what does he say to us in Revelation? Don't lose your first love. More and more we should want to know him. Beloved, may we pray often as we would come to our Bibles and be moved to come to our Bibles. The Spirit, we pray, would help us. And then to read, may we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, which I often pray before I begin looking at the Hebrew and the Greek to prepare these messages for you with many tools of assistance, by the way. I don't mean to impress you. It's not impressive. But I try and I pray this. I pray you would pray this. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Remember, he says, not just the prophets and the Psalms, but the law of Moses is all about Jesus. We enjoyed last week reviewing a sermon you've heard recently last week up in Ontario. Jesus Christ is pure gold. You know, the mercy seat. Remember that size and the thickness, the weight, how much value that is. And it's representing as the propitiatory, literally in the Hebrew. Christ's blood is the propitiation of our sins. How all these things point to Jesus. And may we pray Psalm 119:18 with Psalm 36, verse 9 in view. In thy light shall we see light. Study the Bible and attend classes and worship eagerly. What should happen more and more in us is that we're not dragging to get here. Oh, we may have plenty of things that make it hard to get here, especially during the week, understandably, in terms of, you know, it may be that we're running late for lots of reasonable reasons, but maybe our heart is to be here. And when we can't be here, as our sister Becky tonight always is, my heart is with you and I believe it. You know, our heart is to be with one another and study together and grow. It burns to be together with Jesus and learning and studying from him. As it would happen more and more, may the place be filled Wednesday nights. I recall hearing from Pastor Bell on the membership tapes years ago. He would come here outside on Wednesday nights and say, Houston, we have a problem. Because there weren't a whole lot of people here on Wednesday nights, and he took that as a sign of whether our hearts are really burning for him. That's no guilt trip for everybody has different schedules and things. But if we could be here, would we rather be watching TV? And I don't know about you, but where my heart burns the most is when we're together, more on that as we go, studying the scriptures, reasoning, thinking together, finding Jesus together. Men's studies, women's studies. You know, I haven't been able to listen through it, but to know what was there, to confirm it was definitely in this church, there's a couple messages I'm going to convert from tapes. I think they're in the 90s, maybe in the 80s, of the fella speaking on why we use the King James, talking about the Textus Receptus. And I heard him say he was so encouraged to be here. Do you know why? On a Wednesday night, a lecture on the Textus Receptus, he said the place is packed. The place was packed. Full to the brim with people who wanted to hear that on a Wednesday night instead of watching Everybody Loves Raymond or something. By the way, there's nothing wrong with enjoying some shows sometimes. But if I have a choice, where am I going to be? I'm going to be studying the Word of God, looking for more of Jesus together. My heart just wants it. I don't have to be drug here. I have to be drug away from here. And what can happen often, as does happen, we're talking about it afterwards. And after worship tonight, what do? By the way, we're here tonight. Nobody had to drag us here. We want to be here. And I see it in your faces. And then we go eat. Yeah, we go eat. But what else do? We study some more with the Westminster Standards. And there's joy in it because it's a different way of studying systematically and looking how it all comes together. I don't have to be drugged to those things. And as the Lord would do revival and reformation, and if he would draw people here, that's the spirit we need to be praying for. This spirit of teach me the scriptures, show me Jesus in the scriptures. I want more of Jesus. The Westminster Larger Catechism, number 159, asks this question: how is the word of God to be preached by those that are called thereunto? And here's the answer, and I'll highlight part of it. They that are called to labor in the ministry of the word are to preach sound doctrine diligently, in season and out of season, plainly, not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, faithfully making known the whole counsel of God, wisely applying themselves to the necessities and capacities of the hearers, zealously with fervent love to God and the souls of his people, sincerely aiming at his glory and their conversion, edification, and salvation. I think what I particularly want to highlight in terms of burning hearts, the preacher's heart's got to start with that. You know, I was praying, working on the sermon and praying, Lord, let me not just preach this. Let it be preached, you know. The word will preach itself. Lord, let it be preached to my heart. Lord, let my heart burn for Jesus tonight. Let the hearts of your people burn for Jesus tonight. Faithfully, zealously preaching. It was interesting. And I share this because this comes from the context of where my ministry has been born and raised, this church, on the tales of Pastor Bell and others, where this is what is expected in this church. But they came up to me afterwards and said, boy, it's just so nice to have someone preaching with power and authority. And it wasn't really criticizing others. There's a lot of different sources of preaching coming in and out. And I said, it's really ironic you say that, because that's one of the three reasons your denomination wouldn't take our church, my preaching. And I trust God's providence, but I took a beating for my preaching, and so did you. And but there should be zeal. There should be fervor. There should be a burning heart for Jesus and an expectation that your heart should burn for Jesus too, including what he says at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Do everything he says because he's the king. I shared with them, you know, that same sermon I preached for them that I preached for you early when I was here because it was a seminary assignment, Zechariah 4. It's funny, I preached it, I don't know, 5-6 churches, different states near the seminary, filling in the pulpit. And some of them formally candidating, including in Indiana. And one church that had the most chance of possibly calling me told my preaching professor they hated it, hated my preaching style. I said, it's so weird because the other people liked it. You know, it has to do with Some people don't want it. Some people do. I'd have people come up to me after preaching for chapel because I was a staff person also. And I would look a little bit like Abraham did after he gave his speech to the three little pigs and big bad wolf. He was sweating and he was huffing and puffing afterwards. You know, he gave his all to it. It was great. And, you know, the Lord moves it. But I've had people come up sheepishly to my office up in the attic, you know, because I work for the seminary too. And they'd say, did anyone come to you about this? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, anybody kind of told you shouldn't do this? I said, well, no. I said, okay, good. We need more of this. It's funny how they felt they had to sneak up and tell me that and then sneak away, you know. But sometimes I did, as you know. There was a person in this church. We thought it was God's providence. He was here not long before that same denomination we were going to meet with. He spread across the whole denomination and country. That my preaching's horrible. It's too strong, you know. And that was one of the main things. And yet these people here, because you see it in their faces, they look like you in many ways. They have eager faces. They're hungry for the preaching of the Lord's word. And they want to be on fire. They are on fire. And they want the preacher to be on fire. After all, what is said of the Puritan preachers? Light and heat. The Spirit's working in us with his power, and we're not holding back. This is what should happen. There should be zealous, fervent love to God in the souls of his people. These are matters of eternity. This is not a lecture. This is preaching. It involves explanation, but it's preaching. We need to preach Christ and want to see Christ burning in the hearts of his people. And so that gets to you. That's how I'm supposed to preach. Question 160 of the Westminster Larger Catechism puts it on you. What is required of those that hear the word preached? You ready? This is what's required of you. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind. That's the Bereans. Not doubting, I don't know. Oh, is that true? Probably is. As the word of God, Paul says elsewhere, you received it for what it is, the word of God being preached. And confer on it. Hide it in their hearts. Stoke the fire there, you could say. And bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. If it's burning in our hearts, that's the light of the world's going to go out to the world. That is, you should really care about Jesus and how everything is about him. You know, as I'm going through all of these tapes by Pastor Bell, lot of stuff. And systematic theology, I think you guys probably, there's a lot of systematic theology. I mean, a lot of systematic theology. And what I'm getting is people came for it. It's pretty obvious. We're hungry for it. Teach me everything and how it all relates and how it all relates to Jesus. You should care about all of it and that he is the Redeemer of Israel. That was their heart. We thought he was. And you're being taught by everything. He is the Redeemer of Israel, Old and New Testament, all one and the same. And all his people. Jesus is raised from the dead, they're learning. And then face to face, they realize who's telling them. He is raised from the dead. This is all true as was prophesied of him. And it's of eternal significance. It's exciting. It's rejoicing. Later, the disciples have the same response when Jesus does that similar teaching we've seen of all the scriptures about him. Same response, verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? I'm going to prove to you, it's me, I'm not a ghost, right? But it's not like they don't believe, like I refuse to believe Doubting Thomas. It's like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. It's kind of like when Fernanda found out she was pregnant the first time. She was so convinced she wouldn't be. I can't believe it. Took her a while to believe it. You know, she believed it, but she couldn't. You know, and like, this is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you really are here. We saw you. We saw you, Lord. We saw you bleeding. We saw you die. And here you are. Here you are. They're astonished with joy. And this is how we should be responding to him. Verses 52 and 53. You know, see, first of all, again, in verse 41, there's this joy and wonder. In verses 52 to 53, which ends the gospel, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So this worshiping with great joy, praising, blessing God. That's what people ought to see as we come and go from the parking lot, eh? They ought to see, like, when the bells ring, we gather quickly to sing and welcome the people in. And we're in our seats. We're ready. We are ready to worship. And I know sometimes we're excited to talk with each other in fellowship. And pastor's got to kind of, come on now. That's a good problem to have. But they should see that we're here early. We want to be here. We stay here late. We come on Wednesdays. We want to come to the studies with men and women. We want to be here. We want to study the Word of God. What else are we going to do? What is a better use of our time? Now, there are things throughout the week that can conflict. The Sabbath is the only thing that is required. But you get the idea that as much as we can, we want to be studying together. We want to study and know the Word and know Jesus more. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm still and always will be catching up for lost time. And what great joy and excitement. I remember still, and I think I shared recently, first time, you know, I was going to Campus Crusade for Christ in college, and it's the first time I was really getting serious for the Lord. He'd been drawing me for a while. And I remember one of the staff people, senior staff people, been there a long time. It was at University of Buffalo. We were at Buffalo State College, now Buffalo State University, and we'd get trucked over, a few of us, to go Thursday nights to this special Bible study and fellowship with the other students that we didn't know. And I still remember when he opened the scriptures to me. I'm getting emotional. When he walked us through the Passover lamb and the blood was shed and painted on the doorpost, on the head and on both sides, and clearly is Jesus Christ. Clearly it's pointing to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. I was blown away. Like, I'd never had that open to me. And it was incredible. And that's, I mean, look, beloved, it's a pretty fat book. There's so much for us here to discover and know Christ better and have joy in praising and learning such things about him and having those things drawn home for us that our hearts would burn with excitement and joy and love for Jesus. Such attention and such affection must lead to activity. Attentively hear Jesus in all the scriptures. Affectionately respond to Jesus with all that you are. And actively participate with Jesus with everyone else who loves him too. Like in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46, the early church, here's what was said of them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and they continuing daily. I'm not saying that's required, but I'm always struck about how often Calvin and many of the reformers and the Puritans preached, like almost every day of the week, because there were people gathering for it every day. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, one accord, and breaking bread, the Lord's Supper, from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The many and the one, the many loving to be together as one in Jesus, the church, and feeding on him together in the way that happens most in fellowship together. The natural effect of attention and affection for Jesus is the same for abiding in it with him, with his people, in worship for more. Where is Jesus particularly manifested? Where does Jesus particularly preach himself and the scriptures concerning himself? It's in the worship of Jesus by his people. And so notice, this isn't one man, walking on the road to Emmaus. Of course, he sent them out two by two earlier, right? These are two men walking and talking with one another about Jesus, and they welcomed Jesus, and they asked him to abide even before they knew who he was. Look at verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Stay longer. Let's talk more. You know how that is when you have a good friend over, and especially a good Christian friend, and you're catching up and talking about the Bible? What time is it now? Oh, we can go a little longer. Whew, I guess we should probably go to bed pretty soon, right? You know, family camps kind of experience. Like, stay a little longer, abide more. Let's keep talking. And of course, Jesus says in John 15, "Abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you do not abide in me, you'll perish." And abiding in him, and that life force is with the body of Christ, our head. So the context is these are two of his disciples. They have already been following Jesus. They've already been among the other disciples. They're reflecting the conversation and the eyewitness already of the ladies and Peter. They're all together still talking and wondering and waiting. And they had been following and serving together and preaching about all that had happened and all that they were concerned. Is he really risen from the dead? Jesus was crucified and missing. But that wasn't the end of the story for them. And so he met up with them and told them the rest of the story, if you will. They eagerly communed with Jesus over bread with one another. And then they took all of this to the disciples. We got to go tell everybody else, because there isn't everybody else. And it doesn't make sense that there isn't an everybody else. And so naturally, we got to go tell everybody else. We just saw Jesus. We saw him. The testimony is true. He is alive. He is risen from the dead. And as Jesus has taught them, according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? Remember, one of the places we can go is 1 Corinthians 15. Paul summarizes the gospel as Jesus crucified, dead, buried, risen from the dead. And what does he say there? According to the scriptures. He's talking Old Testament, according to the scriptures. And we want to do this. We want to talk together about the scriptures. We want to study the scriptures. I love to be here. I love to be able to serve you in this way, but I love it for myself, selfishly. I get more out of the scriptures with you. Naturally, I have to spend a lot of time studying them for and with you, but I get more out of it in this moment, this dynamic, divine dynamic, than I do even in my own study beforehand. There's something about God meets with us and fills the temple when we gather together. It's natural. They all take it to the church, and later they have fellowship and communion with one another as he opened their eyes earlier. Look at verses 30 to 31. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You know, we see like an evening fellowship almost here, right? That we enjoy every Lord's Day. Like, these are natural things that we want together. And he opens their eyes in their fellowship. He lets them know at the end who he is, and our heart. Hearts burned is the next verse. Did our hearts not burn? Of course it was Jesus. Did our hearts not burn as he revealed himself to us in the scriptures, that this is all what was prophesied of him? Look to verses 52 and 53 again, the closing of the gospel after he shows himself to the disciples. He is carried up into heaven. So remember the ascension of Christ. He's raised from the dead. They're all rejoicing in this. He's not dead. But then he goes back to where he came from. I love the way the Gospel of Mark ends. You know, Mark is just boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden he goes back to heaven and sits on his throne. That's where he came from. You know, he's just got this authority. It's like, yeah, yes, Jesus, you did it, you know. And I always remember I've shared often in our Hebrews class, Dr. Robeson would always make us emphasize what's in the beginning. After Jesus did all this, he sat down. It's done. He's back in heaven. He accomplished salvation, and he went back and sat down. It's done. He gives us fellowship and salvation together. But notice in particular, what are they doing? Not only are they expressing great joy and praising and blessing God, they're doing it together. It's a corporate thing. It's a family thing. They're in the temple, just as you are now as the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're praising God. As the Bible is open to them, just as it has been opened so many times in the Reformation, and the people are so happy and excited to see Jesus in a way they hadn't, but after darkness, light. So should you be regularly gathering for worship, communion, unity, family. So should you naturally want to be with the body of Christ, because he is our mutual head. Not only can't we say we don't need one another, according to 1 Corinthians 12, we can't help but want to abide with one another in Christ. Learning of him, living in him together. Beloved, be like the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts who was reading Isaiah 53, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip, what you reading? Just like Jesus with the men to the road to Emmaus. What you talking about? You know, they were prepped. He was prepped. There's an opportunity to get in there. And he said, you know, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And he was reading again Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant, which my understanding, and you have to double check this, but I've heard often it's not translated in English in Jewish Bibles in some places because it's too obviously about Jesus, but it's about Jesus. And so he asks Philip to explain it. He does, and he is saved. And he says, well, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he's baptized. Be like him. Or the godly Jews in Jerusalem for Passover, Acts chapter 2, responding to Peter's explanation of Jesus in his sermon being the fulfillment of Psalm 16. Remember, he goes in great detail of Psalm 16, and I've preached that for you in another seminary assignment. And he preaches how David knew he was a prophet, and he knew he was preaching about Jesus Christ, and he knew he was preaching that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead. You are all eyewitnesses that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Therefore, I open the scriptures to show you this Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament. And many thousands believed in him that day, but they were primed. Also, they were God-fearing Jews gathered for Passover and Pentecost. Believe, be like those who heard Jesus explain Psalm 110, verse 1, you sang this evening, and that it was not about David. So who is it about? It's obviously about himself, he's implying. And the common people, it says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, the common people heard him gladly. They didn't say, oh man, you know, all this typology, all this explaining of the Old Testament scriptures, I just want Jesus. No, they took Jesus, who taught about himself in the Psalms, about him, Psalm 110. 10 verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord. Well, who's he speaking to? Speaking to Jesus, obviously not David. He's speaking to me, the son of David. And the common people heard him gladly. Oh, give me more of that. Give me more of that. Show me Jesus in the Psalms, such as later on in verse 4, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Or verse 3, just before, a willing people will serve him in his day of power. May you always expect to hear of your preachers in this church. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And as hearers of such teaching and preaching, may your response be, yes, Give us more of Jesus. Our hearts burn for more of him. Show him to us in all the scriptures. We'll sit. We'll wait for that. 20 minutes isn't enough. One service isn't enough. One day is not enough. Please give us more. Lead us to sing the psalms that speak of him and help us understand what they are prefiguring about him. Show us the tabernacle. Go through all the Pentateuch with us. Show us him in Moses. Go to the prophets and show us Jesus there in Zechariah. Go to the Psalms and teach us to sing about Jesus and understand how he is there. Beloved, may that be the heart of this church. May that be your heart. May that be my heart, because our hearts are lit up by the light of the world. May your hearts burn for Jesus, preaching himself within our Christian communion. Again, that is the message for you this evening with the men walking with Jesus on the way to Emmaus, where he did that himself there, because he does that here as well in person just as much. Hebrews chapter 12. Psalm 40, Hebrews chapter 10. May your hearts burn for Jesus, preaching himself to you within our Christian communion. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, cause our hearts to burn for you as you teach us about you in all the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray.